week number 13 of our study in the book of Galatians. We are in Galatians 5 when Pastor Aaron decided to take the book of Galatians and preach his final sermon from there. He stole the text that I was really looking forward to preaching. So I'm not going to let him do that. Listen, let's be real. Some of us, I'll say us, and I even do the sermon preparation. Some of us forget what the sermon was about by the end of the day today. Tomorrow morning, if someone asks you, hey, what was the sermon about yesterday? Let's be real. Some of us would be like, just give me a second. And the correct answer, I guess you can always just roll out a Jesus answer. That's like the one your kids do. What'd you learn about today at church? Jesus. Okay, of course you did. But like, what else? But I am going to be back in Galatians chapter 5. And there is this, what I'm calling today, the title of my sermon is The Christian Life in a Nutshell. The Christian Life in a Nutshell. I believe and I fear sometimes that we overcomplicate this thing called the Christian life. And I'll be honest with you, I think I can say this as a pastor who prepares sermons and preach here nearly every week of the year. I believe sometimes pastors are at fault because we find these nuggets of truth in Scripture as we're studying and we're preparing and we want to present those to the church. And I'm afraid sometimes we overcomplicate it. So the reason why I couldn't wait to get to Galatians 5 is because of the simplicity of today's sermon. We know that the book of Galatians was written to Christians, to believers, to the churches of the region of Galatia. I'm not going to go back. If you were here when we started the sermon series, we really hit on it. But Paul had gone on his first missionary journey, had seen these churches started with people coming to faith in Christ. He gets back from his missionary journey. He hears of things going on there, and he sends them a letter. So he is writing this letter to believers and to churches. And we need to make sure we remember that. That is a context for the book of Galatians that is very important. He's spoken in these first 4.5 chapters about the works of the law and how the law brings death and how the law was our schoolmaster. If you remember, I compared the law to that one teacher, right? That one teacher that's like got nasty breath, that gives you extra homework, that's like, you know, has been old for the last 40 years, and you're like, how is she still alive? That one teacher, right? That's the law, pointing out everything that's wrong. Well, your penmanship wasn't good. Well, this is a math paper, woman. Like, I know my 5 went under the line there. I'm really sorry. But I got 5, and I was the correct answer. You know that teacher, right? We've all had he or she. And that's what the law is. The law is a constant reminder that, hey, you aren't measuring up. Hey, you just wrote outside the lines. Hey, you just jotted that down over there and that was wrong. Hey, you just gave the wrong answer here. Hey, I said it needed to be 2,000 words. This was 1,943 words. That's the law. It's always a reminder that we cannot measure up. And the book of Galatians was written to Christians to make sure they understood that law was fulfilled in Jesus. And that if they would put their faith and their trust and their belief in Jesus, that he has fulfilled that law. And where they don't measure up, Jesus did measure up. Both in his life, as he walked on this earth for 33.5 years, and then through his death, through his burial and the resurrection, that's the gospel. It's the good news. That Jesus did perform that. Jesus did fulfill the law. And so these people would place their faith and their trust in Jesus, and they would come to faith in Christ. And so that's where we're going to pick up. You know, very broadly, this is where we're going to pick up in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. If you have your Bibles, please follow along in your Bibles. If you don't, feel free to follow along in the app or we will have it on the screen for you. Galatians 5 and verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. This is Paul writing this letter. This is the same Paul that wrote the letter to the Romans. And in Romans chapter 7, there's a very popular passage of scripture where Paul basically says, the things that I want to do, for some reason, I can't do them. And the things that I do not want to do, for some reason, it just seems like I always do those things. I don't know if you are like me, but I can relate to Paul sometimes. This is the same Paul who says, the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. There's this inner struggle. There's this battle that's going on. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Those of us that have come to faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us, and we are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, we're still going, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and you're like, oh, sweet, mine didn't get named. I went through that whole list, and like my fleshly thing didn't get named. So Paul says, and the like. Basically, anything like this. This was like the general list. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things, by the way, I think that's an important word, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, in contrast, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Basically, if you live in this fruit, you can live outside of the law because none of those break a law. You can literally live outside the law if you live in that fruit. Verse 24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, arrogant, prideful, provoking one another. That's not the job of a Christian brother or sister, or envying one another. Heavenly Father, speak through your word today. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. By way of a second introduction this morning, and I think it's important for us to continually go over this. You've heard me speak, if you've been in our church for the last 5.5 years, you've heard me speak on numerous occasions about the old man and the new man. You've heard me speak on the fact that when we were conceived in our mother's womb, we were born with a sinful nature. And we've all talked about it. Every parent in this room understands sinful nature. You do not have to train your children to be disobedient. Your children are professional disobeyers from the womb. They're perfect. They're awesome at it. I think it's just a wonderful picture of the depravity of man. That what is the first reaction of a baby when they are born? What do they make them do? Cry. It's like, are you serious? I thought my baby was going to be perfect. But I have two kids. I have two girls. I used to say they were in middle school. Now I got one going into high school. So getting old. 7th grade and 9th grade. And let me tell you something, man. They had a sinful nature. By nature. By default, you and I have a sinful nature. That's who we are. When we were born into our sin. Our mother and our father both sinned, and they passed that down, and that was all the way. We could trace that all the way back theologically through this book right here. We could trace that all the way back to Adam and Eve. And by one man sinning into the world, Adam, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So we have the sinful nature. When we come to faith in Christ, and I'm not going to take you to the scriptures this morning, for sake of time, I want this to be a simple, straightforward message. But numerous times in Scripture, Romans 6 and Book of Colossians and other places, it tells us that when we receive Jesus Christ by faith, that we crucified our old man. Our old man, the old nature, the sinful nature that we had, was crucified. If you want to read more on this topic, I 100% suggest an annual read of a book by Steve McVeigh called Grace Walk. Grace Walk by Steve McVeigh. I suggest that book. He goes through this in great length. I will actually quote him here in a little bit in our sermon today. But basically, the sinful nature is killed. It is gone. And you are given a new nature. New life in Christ. You are given the righteousness of God in Christ. And so who you are at your core before Christ is a sinner. Who you are at your core after you come to faith in Christ is a child of God. You are no longer, if you call yourself a sinner, you are actually speaking falsehood on your own life. You are no longer a sinner. That is not who you are. Now you may sin, but it's not who you are. So who we are at our core when we receive Jesus, the old man is crucified and the new man comes in through the Holy Spirit, new life in Christ. And so why do we struggle? It's highlighted right here in Galatians chapter 5. You see, while who we are at our core changes to a child of God, a son or a daughter of the King, we still battle what's called the flesh. The flesh. And you have the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the works of the flesh, and then you have the fruit of the Spirit. And that's the backdrop from which I want us to attack today's sermon. Number one, I want us to see this. Christians constantly battle their flesh. I hate to tell you this morning, I wish that it was different. I wish that I could tell you that you will get to a spot and a stage in your walk with Jesus that the flesh doesn't bother you anymore. They're like, oh, I've given up on Josh. He's never going to do anything, so I'm just going to give up and leave him alone. I wish this morning that I could tell you that you could achieve some sort of spiritual height today where the devil would be like, hey, let's back off of Josh. Let's stop throwing those things at him because he's got it all figured out. Let me say this morning, I will never have it all figured out. You will never have it all figured out this morning. We, as believers who love Jesus this morning, we will constantly battle our flesh. We will not battle our old man because if we are believers in Jesus, our old man is dead. Okay? Who we are is now a child of God. We will battle the actions of the flesh. You say, Josh, what is the flesh? I'm glad you asked. Steve McVeigh, in his book that I already told you about, called Grace Walk, he defines the flesh as this: the techniques we use to try to meet our needs independent of Jesus Christ. I've actually shared this text with you previously in another sermon a couple of years ago. The flesh, they are the techniques that we use to try to meet our needs independent of Jesus Christ. So the flesh could be a want and a desire for money. The flesh could be a want and desire for fame or for comfort that exists outside of Jesus, right? If I want financial success and I want it within the parameters of what God wants for me and what Jesus has for me, that's not the flesh. But if I want financial success at the expense of what Jesus has for me, that is me wanting to meet my own needs independent of Jesus. Listen, if this morning, if you find comfort in your life and you find it through the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding and directing, and you find it within the parameters of the Bible and what God has for your life, then that is an incredible Spirit-led spot to be. But this morning, if you and I desire comfort outside of that, in lieu of that, we are giving into our flesh. Our flesh will always crave comfort. Our flesh will always crave that fame. Our flesh will always crave that money. That's why the Bible says you can't serve God and money. You're going to bow to one of them. But Christians constantly battle their flesh. So practically speaking this morning, Number one, you will forever battle your flesh. So we better get ready for it. Number two, if you look around this room today, every single person in this room, they're also going to battle their flesh. So in the same way that you want God to show you grace and you want God to show you mercy and you want God's Spirit to lead you in those dark times in your life, how about we give the same mercy and we give the same grace to our fellow brothers and sisters when they too are battling their flesh? We will forever battle our flesh. Here's the good thing. The good thing is this. The flesh cannot change who we are in Christ. The old man is crucified, dead. The new man is alive in Christ. The flesh cannot change who we are. And by the way, this morning, if you come from a church background where you believe that you can lose your salvation, that's no judgment here. Let me just say, this is yet another theological teaching for the premise of if Jesus Christ has saved your soul is saved forever. Your old man was crucified and the new man was made alive in you. In order for you to lose your salvation, do you know what would have to happen? The new man would have to remove himself from your life and the old man would have to be resurrected. And I just don't see, I've never seen it. That's not in scripture and I've never seen it in someone's life. So Christians will constantly battle their flesh. So for you as a Christian this morning, get ready. The flesh and all the lust of the flesh, and we're not going to spend tons of time on it this morning, but we could go through all these adultery, fornication, uncleanness. All these things are works that our flesh throw at us. And we're going to battle. We're going to battle. Secondly, this morning, this is a tough one, but get ready for it. Consistent practice of the flesh indicates unbelief. And I want to have a very frank talk with you this morning. As I sit down and hang with pastors, as I have conversations with people that have been deep in God's word for many, many years, I believe this to be an important truth that we must understand. We must differentiate between unbelief and a season away from the Lord. Is that fair? We must differentiate between unbelief and what the old timers called being backslidden. You heard that term? A season of time where you aren't walking in the Spirit, where you are struggling with your flesh, and honestly, the flesh is winning. What does the scripture say in this text about those that would consistently practice these things? Right? In verse 21 it says, as I told you in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This morning I give us, and I say us, I give myself a warning. I give you a warning. The book of 1 John is a very clear, difficult book of the Bible that deals with assurance and knowing. These things have I written unto you, chapter 5 of that book, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know. I believe this morning that you can know that Jesus is your Savior, but I also believe that those that know Jesus as their Savior, there will be some evidence of that knowledge. And I'm not saying this morning if you struggle with adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, et cetera, and the like. If you struggle with that this morning, I'm not saying that you're an unbeliever. I'm not saying that. Can I just frankly say, when you stop struggling, the Holy Spirit stops convicting. You stop having that feeling of, I've sinned against my Father. If we're not careful, what we are displaying is that we never did truly believe. That's a tough scripture this morning. It's a tough truth that we must differentiate from. Now, I will say this. I do believe there is a huge difference between someone who has never been a believer in Jesus and someone who is in a season of backsliddenness. I believe that's a very real thing, I believe those are two completely set of people. But it can get confusing. Am I right? It can get confusing. And so that family member of yours who's been away from the Lord, you know that they displayed the fruit of the Spirit. You know they gave their life to Christ. You know they were baptized. You know they were serving the Lord. You know, and they've been away from the Lord. May I say this? That season can be long. And they're battling their flesh. And you know what's happened? They've given in to their flesh. And they've given in to their flesh. And they've given in to their flesh. And just like that prodigal son, he was a son. He gave into his flesh, and he gave into his flesh, and he gave into his flesh. But one day, he came to himself. One day. And where was his father? On the front porch, waiting for him. And when he saw his son, he ran to him. And he hugged him. And he brought him back in. Unbelievers, differentiating between a Christian having a season away from the Lord and an unbeliever, I believe, will unrepentantly continue to live in the flesh, with no repentance, with no remorse, calloused, and more calloused. And what are they doing? By their fruits, you will know them. And if that be the case, number three tells us this morning, I told you today was going to be simple. If by their fruits they will be known, number three tells us that Christians display fruit given by the Spirit. Christians display fruit given by the Spirit. Now, I've got no fruit trees at my house. Some of y'all are like little farmers, and that's all good. I was not given that gift. I'm just trying to keep plants alive. It's my big thing right now. To the extent that when we went on our cruise, I actually had someone in our church go by our house every day and water our plants. I'm like, man, I can't be wasting that money. I put it in plants. That's the extent of it, though. But I want to say a couple of things about fruit. And some of you would know more than me, for sure. The fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. A couple things about fruit. Number one, fruit sometimes takes a season or two or three before it actually gets to the surface and produces edible fruit. The one fruit tree I wish I had, I don't know if it even grows around here. I'm not sure if it's warm enough. I'm not sure if it's a peach tree. I love peaches, man. Do they work around here? Man, I got to think about that. All right. I can imagine it takes some time. If you're going to plant the seed of the Spirit, the seed of the peach tree, it's going to take time before that seed even breaks ground. And then it's going to take a whole lot more time before that seed grows enough to where you might see that first green peach that's nowhere even close to edible, right? And then it's going to take a little bit longer before you finally, I don't know about y'all, I like the peach that's still got a little bit of that firmness. It might be a tad sour. That's my favorite right there. Like, that's when I want to eat it. Like, I go to the grocery store. This is the one reason why we do not do the grocery thing where you shop online and you pick it up. Because the people that shop for my peaches do not know what kind of, there's a squeeze test. And they're going to mess it all up. But I do know this. I know it takes time. I know the fruit takes time. I do know this, though, that Christians, over those seasons and over that time, display this fruit. I love what Pastor Aaron said a couple of weeks ago. Gifts of the Spirit are uniquely given to individual people for different things. Fruit of the Spirit is something that is in every single believer. Now, our natural personalities, might display some of those fruit a little bit more prominently than others. But every single believer ought to be experiencing the fruit of the Spirit in their life. I'll be honest with you, I can be a little blunt. I can be a little in your face. And so the fruit of gentleness, and I don't need no amens over there, y'all. I mean, I know it's true, I just admitted it, all right? So the fruit of gentleness does not naturally flow from my body. Shocker. But I hope goodness and I hope joy. I hope peace. And others that I feel like come a little more naturally to me. But Christians will display fruit given by the Spirit. The Christian life in a nutshell. You've come to faith in Christ. You're a believer in Him. You're a follower of Jesus. The Christian life in a nutshell is, on this side of your walk, on this side of the road, you have the lust of the flesh. You have all of those sins that we listed, graphic, detailed, and the like. And as a Christian, we can spend our time with our focus and our attention on these fleshly items, and we're never going to be a happy Christian, and we're never going to be a light in a dark world. We're never going to be a witness for Christ. We're going to live a life of guilt and shame, honestly. Like, if you're going to live that life, you shouldn't ever become a believer, because the Holy Spirit's going to hound you, man. Or you have down this straight and narrow, you have the fruit of the Spirit. And it's love and it's joy and it's peace. And so what does Paul say? If you live in the Spirit, you ought to walk in the Spirit. So this morning, we have a choice to make. And the Christian life is as simple as this. We can walk in the flesh or we can walk in the Spirit. We can walk in love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and kindness and self-control. Or we can walk in sexual sin. We can walk in personal sin, idolatry. We can walk in relational sin. All those works of the flesh. That's the Christian life in a nutshell. It's really your decision. Will the Holy Spirit guide me? Or will my flesh guide me? That innate desire in me to succeed outside of Jesus. Which one will I today, this afternoon, submit to? Which one tomorrow, when I face whatever I face tomorrow, which one will I follow after? We will either live in subjection to our flesh, or we will live in subjection to the Spirit. And may I, in conclusion this morning, give you practically what it means to me. You see, because we can all nod our heads in agreement of like, okay, I get it. It's a choice of following our flesh or following what the Spirit has for us, right? I think we could all like nod our head in an intellectual agreement. But like, what does it look like Tuesday at 2:30 when that same old person at work has not completed their job again, and you took the blame for it again because they were technically reporting to you, and here's another time where they've dropped the ball, and you ask them about it and they mouth off and they're sarcastic, and you want to... What does in that moment love, joy, peace, not that we don't ever stand up for ourselves, but what does gentleness and goodness and self-control, look like in that moment, right? So here's for me, this is what I do, and I will tell you this. When I do this, it's amazing how I make those choices of walking in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit happens in my life. When I do not do this, it's amazing how quickly I can revert. But I do something like this. Y'all are gonna think this is stupid. I do the grocery shopping in my house because I also do the cooking. So I'm like, I'm picking the food. If I'm cooking, I'm picking the food. I'm about to go into Harris Teeter if I'm lazy and want to spend a little bit more money, because Harris Teeter's close to the house. Or I did what I was supposed to do, and I drove all the way to Hillsborough to go to Walmart. You know, whichever one. But I'm walking in, and I say, God, don't let me just, like, walk through here and just react or whatever. Like, Holy Spirit, help me be intentional. If I happen to see someone here that I know, would you give me an opportunity to be kind to them? If I see someone in here who needs a hand or needs help, would you enlighten that and open that up for me? And would you allow me to be the person I'm supposed to be as I walk through here? It's incredible how many, number one, how many people I see at the grocery store that I know. I get done with the grocery store and I'm going home and I'm like, it's been a long day, but I know my kids have had a long day too. And God, would you, as I pull into this driveway, would you let me be the father that I'm supposed to be? Would you help me to display love and joy and peace, etc., to my two daughters who love their dad? Will you, God, will you grant me the peace that I need as I deal in a husband and wife situation with Sarah? God, would you allow me to walk in the Spirit? If I walk in and I walk in on some chaos or whatever, would I respond with self-control and peace? That's how I walk in the Spirit. And that sounds really crazy. That's exactly how I walk in the Spirit. God, today, after this service, I got a VBS volunteer meeting. God, I'm not guilting you. I'm just telling you what my conversation. God, if no one shows up to that meeting, keep my spirit right. Give me love and joy. God, don't let me be moved by my flesh. God, tonight I'm going to go into a worship environment that I've never been in. Holy Spirit, could these Pentecostals teach me something about worship tonight? May I learn? Or may I just appreciate maybe our differences? Would you lead me, and may I not have one critical thought? May I worship Jesus? And I'll be honest with you guys, that's how I walk in the Spirit. I show up, I'm just going to be real. It's not even 11 o'clock yet, so y'all, we're good. Be very real with you. I knew we had over 20 people out today in our teens and our kids, right? And I try to tell y'all, I try to battle in a good way, like not comparing like numerical things. But I knew. And then I knew the people that were going to be out of town. And I'm like, Keith, I'm glad you're here, man, because that's one more person, man. That's good. Thank you for coming. And I have to say, God, would you bring me to the church that you called me to plant this morning? And would you not let me become critical of this church? Would you not let me send that email out to 459 people about faithfulness to church? Which I did one time. Would you help me come in today, and when Rodney shows up, can I just be excited I saw Rodney today? And I am, man. Rodney was, man, I won't talk about softball, man. We had some fun Sunday. Can it just be enough today, Holy Spirit, that I got to connect with Chris for 10 minutes outside before church started? That me and Dylan, Chris talked about fishing for a little bit. I guess I'm turning into an outdoorsman. That's how I get led in the Spirit. God, like, I want to come today, and I don't want to think about who's not here today. God bless every person that's not here. It's on vacation. It's got other things going on. I want to just, man, how can I minister right here? That's how I walk in the Spirit. And so I encourage you have a choice to make as you get up tomorrow and you go to work, if you have to do that. You have a choice to make. I can live in my flesh. I can react to everything that happens to me the way I want to react. And that's going to come with a lot of unkindness, a lack of self-control, and it's pride and all of these things. Or tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'm going to say, God, you've given me this job. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I thank you for it. as I go to work today, would you, Holy Spirit, would you lead me? Holy Spirit, would you guide me? Would you make sure I'm responding with love, joy, peace for the Spirit? Would you give me opportunities to display the fruit of the Spirit? This past week, I was able to be, and when I say I'm done, I'm done. These are closed. I was able to be with 15 other pastors at a retreat. I used to go to conferences, spend a whole lot of money, airfare and hotels and conference fees, and I'm like, oh, great, that dude that runs 7,000 people at his church is preaching at me. Like, awesome, man. Appreciate it. Started going to these retreats where I'm sitting around the table with 15 people, and I don't know how many people any of their churches run. I just know that I heard what they're struggling with and what their high point is right now in ministry, and they heard mine. And they sat down with me afterwards, and three or four guys came around me and prayed with me, and three or four guys around me said, listen, I've been through what you're going through. Can we connect? Right? So one of the things we were talking about is conversation. We were there for 3.5 days. Conversation got us like, how do we just live out the gospel? How do we just walk in the Spirit, really, is what they were asking. And one of the things that I mentioned to the guys is like, I try to never waste an answer. So I'm going to go to a restaurant today and eat. And when that person asks me how my day is going, you know, I don't want to waste an answer. You know what I want to say? Man, God's been good to me. Not just, oh, it's going good. No, God's been good to me. You know what that does? I'm not smacking anybody in the face with Jesus. But you know what it does? It just opens up a little bit of a door. Never waste an opportunity to say, man, God's really. Or if you're not doing well, don't lie, man. Stop lying to people. If you're not doing well, be like, honestly, for some reason, the Lord's just seen fit for some struggles to come into my life right now, and I'm really trying to work through them. But you know what I did? I acknowledged the Lord again. That's walking in the Spirit. So what I want as we close today and we move on in our service, I would love for every person that is in this room today to intentionally leave from this place and say, Holy Spirit, guide me, lead me. I'm walking with you. Help me display your fruit. And so if you walk out that door and you decide for your family to stay out here and play a little bit on the playground, you don't waste an opportunity for someone who doesn't attend church, or we don't know if they attend church, who is out there, and they ask you a question, engage in conversation. We don't want to waste them. As I told you, every Sunday I'm going to go to some restaurant. I don't want to waste those. I'm asking us to intentionally walk in the Spirit. And you know what the scripture says? If you will walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Heavenly Father.
Thanks for listening today. If you're listening for the first time, we would love to hear from you. Maybe you have a question about the gospel of Jesus. If so, we'd like you to send us an email at hello@keystonerdu.church. If you're a regular listener to our podcast and you would like to donate to the media and outreach ministries at Keystone, your gift would allow us to do more in an effective way to get the gospel out. Thank you for partnering with us in ministry in Durham and around the world.